Amen. Well, now this is the last one, right? The very last? All right. But it's not the last time. Amen. It is the last days. Remember what I said a couple days ago. I really feel that God is going to send you into the four corners of the world. You may not be sent out as pastors. In fact, I hope you're not. You're going to be sent out as servants of the Lord. And the people that, the places that you're sent, they're not going to know who you are. But you're going to, God is going to give you power, and you're going to be where God wants you to be in the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is going to come. And you're going to know that it's the day of the Lord, and you're going to know it's the day of His power. Where's that verse, Rita? In the day of my power, my people shall be willing. Do you know where that verse is?
It's probably in Psalms. It's another Psalm.
Well, you know, I have that little finder. It finds every verse. In the day of my power, my people shall be willing. Amen. I'll find it here quickly. Power. It's going to be in only one book, Psalm 110, verse 3. Psalm 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Amen? And it's talking about Jesus, of course, but he also says, thy people. Are you going to be willing in the day of his power?
Amen.
The day of his authority. See, he is going to give his authority to us. Now, remember, he has to trust you with all that authority.
Amen.
If you are not proven to be a son of God, if you're a child, you can't be trusted with all that power. A child cannot be trusted. If you give them power to do anything they want, they would do stupid things. Amen? So, in the day of his power, I'm just giving you many, many verses that all saying the same thing. They all mean that the day of the Lord is coming. And the day of the Lord, the sons of God will be manifest. And creation is waiting. Do you know what? Let me just tell you. There are people that don't like that word, sons of God. Come now, I'm telling you. 15, 20 years ago, I was way out in a western state in America, a state I'd never been in before. And I just said something about the sons of God. I didn't preach about it. I just used the word, sons of God. And somebody got so angry, they said, well, we've heard enough about that business, the sons of God. And the Lord did a funny thing in that meeting. They had a woman, and I've never been back to that place ever again since then. They had a woman that they were trying, they were praying for her, trying to get deliverance for her. And so after the meeting, we went and we prayed for that woman and then we left. Well, the next morning, we came back, or the next day we came back, and the man, he came to us and he apologized. He said, oh, I'm so sorry. I was so angry at you when you said sons of God. But he said, that woman you prayed for, she got delivered. Just like that. And she says, he said, we had been praying for her for weeks and she couldn't get delivered. Well, we didn't have the power in ourselves. It was just that God was showing them that this is the word.
Amen.
Now, I've prayed for other people that didn't get delivered so quickly. You know what I mean? But it was a manifestation of God giving confirmation to that. Now, I want to take you to... that was just an introduction.
Reverend Mark.
Yes.
There is an issue that rises up among the women that they are not allowed to preach anymore, to preach the word. It's the women.
Oh, you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll take that up first. Go to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Yeah, we didn't finish that the other day, did we? We need to know what this means. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Start in verse 9. Okay. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. We can stop right there for a minute, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
What is modest apparel? What is modest? I should ask a woman. I should ask an older woman. What is modest apparel?
I guess modest apparel would be something feminine for a woman that doesn't draw attention to your body. You know, I'm starting to not like wearing t-shirts that have printing on it. I'm walking down the street and I'm seeing all these people wanting to stare right here, you know. And so, or sometimes clothing has something written in the back and it's drawing attention to the backside of a woman. Modesty is basically, I think, femininity. It's covering. It's covering your body, because your body is not meant for the world out there to see. It's meant for your husband, not for every other brother in the world. Your body belongs to him, and his body belongs to you. And a woman should keep herself pure. She should keep herself modest for her husband. And, you know, ladies, the way some ladies dress is very provocative. I mean, the necklines are way down here. The shirts are very skin tight and form-fitting. Doesn't have to say that you have to look like a sack or a frump. You can look very nice in modest clothing.
Yeah.
But you don't want to draw attention to your physical body. Because I'm telling you, ladies, if you do, you're not going to like what you catch. You're going to get a man who lusts after you instead of loves you. And maybe when you're young, that might be okay. But as you grow in that relationship, you're going to learn to despise your husband. Because if he just lusts after you instead of loves you, he's not going to lay down his life for you. So there's a lot to say in the dress. You know, you don't want to draw attention to your outward appearance. That's where the modesty comes from. You should reflect the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen.
So the practical aspect of modesty is the skirt. Skirt is woman's clothes. It should be of a sufficient length that it's not drawing men's eyes.
Sometimes that's not always practical, because the clothing you buy up, you can't dictate what they're going to sell in the marketplace. But you can choose what you want to buy, you know, and be modest. You know, some skirts are very tight, so when you sit down, ladies, be careful, because, you know, especially short dresses, you can look right up, you know, and this is where the modesty, where the skirts come in, just to be modest.
Okay.
Be conscious of it.
You know, I don't know what's going on in America, but they're cutting inches off of clothes. Really? It's like there's a shortage of material. I mean, you used to buy shirts and blouses that you can tuck in. You know, you tuck them in, they go down, you know, below your belt. Well, now, and I see the girls walking in the mall in America. Well, you know what I mean? Why are they always pulling on them? Because they're too short. And there's something in the nature of a person that says, I don't need my belly showing to everybody in the world. And then when they sit down, you're in the chair behind them, and they sit down and they lean over, and this goes down and this comes up. And it's bad on men too.
This is just not for ladies. This is for men also. I'm telling you, as a woman, I don't want to sit behind a man and see, especially someone that's excessively overweight or whatever. It's actually disgusting to the eye. Beauty is you know, you can look very beautiful dressed modestly and appropriately.
You know, I see these women, 300-pound women, in the summertime, and they're wearing little shorts, and their body. No, please cover it up. I wouldn't even lust after that. Come on, I'm being honest with you. Come on. Cover it up. The flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. That kind of flesh is living after the flesh. It's the lust of the eye. All right. Sisters, you're beautiful, you're fair, and you'll be beautiful and fair dressed modestly too.
Yes, sir.
And you'll catch the kind of man that loves you for the Christ in you.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, see, we just got to the first line there, didn't we? Okay. Modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. I'm not sure what those words mean. It just means that you're not giddy. Okay, let me see what this word means. We have a definition of this word here. With moderation. Oh, wait a minute, that's verse 9 in chapter 2, verse 9. Moderation and clothing. I guess that's what it says. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now, the Bible is not saying that you need to dress like a nun. Okay? But you're not going to dress like a harlot either. Do you understand? You know the look of the harlot. You're not going to look that way. You're not going to have that look. You're not going to put the kind of apparel on that draws that kind. Hey, what are you advertising anyway? If you're not selling, don't advertise. You follow what I'm saying? All right. But. That's the don't. But here's the but. That which becometh a woman professing godliness with good works. In other words, you're going to appear as a woman of godliness. Amen? And you know what? If you have older women to look to as an example. Amen? You have an older woman here in your Bible school. She should be an example, amen, of a godly woman. Amen? Likewise, the older men, examples to the younger men. Okay? But, here's another but. Verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Okay, now, you want some help on that verse, don't you? Okay. What Paul is talking about here is, I do not permit a woman to teach or usurp authority over men. Now, what he is saying here, okay, yes, women teach. You have to teach. It says, the younger women shall learn from the older women. Or older women are to teach younger women. What are older women to teach younger women? It's in the Bible. They teach them to love their husbands. Isn't that in the Bible? Okay, so a woman teaches her children. What did Paul say to Timothy? He said that your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois have taught you, right? So we know that you're teaching your children, but what Paul is saying is, in the assembly, in the gathering together of the assembly, the women are not to teach doctrine. Do you follow what I mean by that? What have I been doing? I've been teaching doctrine. Paul is saying that's not the place for the woman. Okay, let's go on. But to be in silence. Now, this word silence, insofar as this kind of teaching is concerned. Now, we know that a woman does not have to keep... No. We know that a woman can prophesy. Didn't Paul write that? He said if a woman is praying or prophesying, so she can pray, she can prophesy. Okay? But there were unruly women in some of these places that Paul went to. And they were having their meetings. These women would, you know, they'd call out and they'd yell and they were boisterous, and I'll use the term bawdy. They were bawdy, bawdy, B-A-W-D-Y, bawdy women. Loud, boisterous, very unfeminine. And he said, no, we're not going to have that in the church. Now let's go on. Why would he not permit a woman to teach the doctrinal things in the church? Okay? Because he said, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. So in other words, in the creation, God gave Adam a place of responsibility. He made him first, and then Eve was taken out of Adam. Okay, so the first order of responsibility in that family was given to Adam. All right, and then he said, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Now, look at some of these churches, cults, that have been started by women. Have you studied them? Are you aware of some of them? There are some strange cults that women have started. I'm not going to tell you what they are. You don't really need to get into it. But they have got some strange doctrines. And the point is, yes, a man can be deceived too. But these women had some real deception in some of the things they started. I think Jehovah's Witnesses was started by a woman. Am I right? Well, good. You're not studying the cults then. Okay. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and clarity and holiness with sobriety. All right, so this word silence, let me give you a definition of the silence. The word silence means, and you can write this down, I looked it up, it means desistance, D-E-S-I-S-T-A-N-C-E, it means stopping, don't do it, desistance from bustle or language. In other words, be quiet. Don't make a lot of noise, don't make a lot of bustle, don't make a lot of racket. Just try to keep things quiet. And you know, churches could use a lot more of this. You know, when we're meeting in the Caraga Hotel, people are not being quiet. Mothers are not being quiet. They're not keeping their babies quiet. You know, you can teach your babies to be quiet. Did you know that? And I know that some cultures don't like to teach their children to be quiet. Oh, just let them go. No, no. You've got to discipline your children. I don't care what culture you come from. And I've been in the cultures that people don't believe in doing that. The Eskimos, the Indians, they don't discipline their children. And I've been in other countries where people don't believe in disciplining their children. You've got to start disciplining your little babies. Now, I could let a woman teach you this. This is not doctrine. This is not doctrine. This is practical things. A woman knows how to teach women to raise their children. And I don't have a problem with that. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's saying in the meeting, in the general meeting, where the people are gathered together. And of course, that doesn't mean a woman can't talk. Women have got up and said some very, very important things. You see, if she is in Christ, there's neither male nor female. If she gets up, thus saith the Lord, there's neither male nor female. She's not teaching doctrine. All right, now the teach, the word teach, I'll give you the number. It's 1321. The word teach, if it's in your, you can look it up if you want. The word is 1321. And it is, here's what teach is. The activity of an instructor, a master, or a doctor. So the activity of the master teacher, that's not the job for the woman. That's a responsibility that men have. And many men have not taken their responsibility. And I know, well, I'll just give you a story. Have you heard of Smith Wigglesworth?
Yes.
Who said yes?
Me.
One man has heard of Smith Wigglesworth. He was a man that lived in England more than 100 years ago, right? He was a mighty, powerful man. In his ministry, he raised up three men from the dead. I think one was a woman. Three people he raised from the dead. But Smith Wigglesworth, at first he was married to a woman and she preached. And he was lazy. He wouldn't preach. He didn't believe. And he came to his wife one day. Now I'm not saying this is in the Bible. This is not in the Bible. This is just what happened to Smith Wigglesworth. Okay, don't write down that I said this is what everybody has to do. He came to his wife and he said, "Woman, you need to quit preaching." And she said to him, "Husband, you get up and do what God has called you to do and I will quit preaching." Well, the poor man, he didn't know how to read. He couldn't read. And so she taught her husband how to read. He was a plumber. A plumber, a long time ago. And most of his clients were these bars where they had the big keg of beer down in the cellar and they had a pipe that ran up and opened a little thing and the beer would come out, you know, and the men would drink. Well, when he got saved, he gave up that kind of plumbing. He wouldn't do that anymore. So he began to preach, and she stopped. She said, "You preach, and I'll stop." And she did. And he had a powerful, mighty, mighty ministry. A man in England, many, many years ago. I didn't say God said that. I just said this is what happened in one family. Okay? What happened is they got in God's order.
Yeah.
They were out of order. And they got in God's proper order. You hear that, men? You need to be in God's order. You need to be the leader in your house. Amen? The spiritual leader in your house. And as a spiritual leader in your house, you will be able to take leadership in the house of God. Leadership. That's what we're talking about. Women are not designed for that kind of leadership. Okay? All right. Is there any more that... So I said teach is the activity of an instructor, master, or doctor. Now, the word master is the word didasco. Its number is 1320. And this is what Jesus said about this word. Matthew 23. Let's go back to Matthew 23. I'll give you some verses. He says, "But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren." In other words, he was the master teacher. He used that word. Now, he used that word again then he said, "And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." Verse 9. And then in verse 10 he says, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." Okay. John. In John 13. Verse 13, he said, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet." That is chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. Okay, in the book of Acts... Acts verse 21, and in verse 8, "And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy." Did you hear that? The man had four daughters, virgins, unmarried girls, and they did prophesy. So you can't prophesy and be silent, can you? The girls had a gift of prophecy, and it had a place, but they weren't teaching. They weren't teaching, and they weren't becoming master of the meeting. Do you follow what I'm saying? And this is why a woman cannot... Even if you want to believe in pastor, a woman pastor is out of order. The whole thing pastor is out of order. But a woman elder is also out of order. As it stands alone. Okay? We already read you the verse in Galatians. Galatians 3:28. "In Christ there is neither male nor female." in Christ. Now, God has, in the government of His church, He has male and female, however. But in Christ, in the home, in our home, we have male and female. And in the administration of the church, we have male and female. But in Christ, there's neither male nor female. Did that go over your head? It's probably hard to understand. Finally, final verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. So he's talking about the body of Christ here. Okay? And that includes the sisters.
But brother, so you mean that in home and in church, there is male and female?
In the home, yes, and in the everyday business of the church.
Yeah.
Yes.
So in Christ.
But in the spirit.
Yeah.
In the spirit, there's neither male nor female. Now, the problem is we have to discern being in the spirit and not being in the spirit.
Because we have some female here. Who are doing their jobs, committing, who does the job to lead this little group of people. They are the one.
Leading praise is not teaching doctrine.
Yeah, so it's okay because my sister is really, she wonderful, she very. Okay, I tell her that you are not teaching that things. It's okay for you.
You're not teaching. You're not usurping authority over the men.
Yeah.
You are only coming in praise.
So I tell her, wait to become a wife of her.
Yes. Of course, that's a good calling. Now,
brother.
The Bible school is a school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not the general meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different environment. The general meeting is where all the body comes together.
Yes.
You have old people coming, you have babies coming,
yeah.
Mothers, fathers, and you're gathering together, like Paul said, when you come together, you know, on the first day of the week, you know. And this is the meeting where the doctrine of the Word of God is brought forth. The men have the responsibility to bring that word.
Yes.
Okay? Because he said of the elder, he should be apt to teach. Apt to teach. The elder should be capable of teaching. He should know the Word of God. He should be able to defend the Word of God. He should be able to bring order in the fellowship. The men, if something rises up out of order, the elders should come together. If it's a woman that went wacko with her words, they should quiet her down, you know, and bring order again to the house of God. Did that seemeth good to thee? Did I give you something that's not in the Word of God? I know churches have many traditions. I know they ordain women pastors. And some of these women are strong women. And some of them take authority over men. But you know that many of these churches are out of order. And I am preaching to you to have God's order.
Amen, amen.
I can make up fables. I can tell you about church traditions. I mean, talk about church traditions. Look what they're doing in Rome today. They're making a new pope. And they say, I listen to these reporters. I turn the television on in my room for a few minutes. And these reporters are interviewing the priests, and they say, oh, we're going to depend on the Holy Spirit to choose the next pope. Give me a break. This whole thing is out of order. The Holy Spirit isn't involved in this thing. I don't care what they say. Holy Spirit is not picking a pope out of Babylon. I am not impressed by what these cardinals and priests and bishops say. They are deceived. Come on, they are deceived. And they are so religious. They have the most beautiful smiles. On the television, they look so happy and smile. Brethren, read the Word of God. This is Babylon. This is harlot. And this harlot system has deceived 80% of the Philippines.
That's right.
And more than 80% of South America. Where this pope is coming from, Argentina. Look at the deception in Argentina. Look at the man that they chose for their dictator. The man that just died. Best friend of Fidel Castro. I'm sorry, I'm into politics. Erase that. But no, I'm talking about deception. And Paul is saying that if a woman comes into this kind of responsibility, she is not designed for it. And she's going to get in trouble. Even though people can get saved. You know, people can get saved in the Catholic Church. Did you know that? Do you know why? Because the priest opens up the Bible and he reads some passages out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And the Word of God has power. But not because of the righteousness of that priest. He might be a wicked man. But the Word of God is still pure.
Amen.
And God honors His Word. He honors His Word even above the vessel that speaks His Word.
Amen.
You know, I won't. But I could fall in sin. But the Word I have brought is still the true Word of God.
Amen.
But I wouldn't ever want to fall in sin. Because do you know what happens if a preacher is in sin and he's preaching the Word of God? Do you know what happens? When somebody is preaching the Word of God to people, he is not just bringing the Word, but he is bringing the Spirit. And if the man is bringing the Spirit, he's bringing the true Word, but he is also bringing a spirit of what he is living. Now, I've seen these preachers preaching what sounded like a good word, but they're living in adultery. And you know what happens in his church? Next thing you know, here's a family starts falling into sin. Over here is another family. They start falling into sin. Oh, another family over here. And they start having adultery and divorce. Why? He read the Word of God. He says, thou shalt not commit, you know. Uh-huh. That's a true word of God. Uh-huh. But that's not what he's living. He's living a secret sin. Mm-hmm. And any spirit, let's say he has a spirit of rebellion. He doesn't preach rebellion. He doesn't say you should go and rebel. And he says, you must never rebel against me. But you know what? He's in rebellion. And you know what happens? People start rebelling. The preacher's wife. Let's take Tammy Baker. Remember Tammy Baker?
Yeah.
Jim and Tammy. Remember Tammy Baker? Remember how Tammy Baker used to dress? You never saw the television, PTL? Oh, wow, the way she dressed. I'm sorry, I'm recording this. Well, we're telling the truth. But you know what happened? When that whole thing came to light, they divorced. She married the man who was the driver of their limousine. Yeah, she married him. They fell into sin. The kinds of sin, I'm telling you. And I remember, I personally went to another state to hear, way back in the 1980s, I went to hear what was considered a very, very rising, popular man of God preacher. He was very gifted, very powerfully gifted. And he also had a gift of playing the piano and singing. We were in a... I'd never been to a place like this before, and I've never been since. Big, big auditorium, thousands of people there. He went over and he sat down at this big grand piano. Oh, he played, he sang. Oh, I thought it was so good. Really, I liked it. And then I heard the man preach. And he was preaching. And I remember he stopped preaching. And he said, "Devil, I'm not through yet." I mean, I thought, wow, this guy's got authority against the devil. I mean, I'm just a younger guy. And I said to Brother DeSeal, said to me one day, he said, "Oh, Brother Mark," he says, "they're all fallen." I said, "Oh, no, Brother DeSeal, they're not all fallen. There's great men." He said, "Who?" I said, "Brother so-and-so." He put his head down. He said, "Oh, brother." He never said any more to me. He just said, "Oh, brother." You know what? One day it exploded. It all came to the light. The man was secretly going to prostitutes. You see, I was deceived. Let me ask you a question. Have any of you ever been deceived? Come on, be honest with me. Have you ever been deceived? I have. And I ask myself, Jesus said, I'm not going to preach this. I'm not going to preach this. We're not going there. Jesus said, Matthew 24, let's talk about this. I've said all I want to say about the woman thing. I have nothing more to say. Did I say enough? Okay. Matthew 24, deception. Well, it is, yes. Paul said that the woman was deceived. You say, well, Adam sinned too. Yeah, he sinned, but he wasn't deceived. You know what? He did it on purpose. When he came home, and he found Eve eating that thing. Oh, Adam, this is good. This is really good. My eyes are really open. Oh, Eve. Oh, give it to me. Give it to me. No, he knew what happened. But he loved Eve so much that he knew that if he didn't go with her, that he would never have her.
That's right.
He did it on purpose. He wasn't deceived. She was tricked. She was tricked. The devil tricked her. And when God came along and he said, "What have you done?" Eve, well, which order did it go? Who answered first?
Eve.
Was it Eve that answered first?
No.
I think Adam answered first, didn't he?
Yeah, the woman.
Adam said, "That woman thou gavest me." It's her fault. "The woman thou gavest me." Do you know that Adam is the only man in history that never had a choice of who his wife would be? Every other man had a choice. You know, even Joseph had a choice. He didn't have to marry Mary. God said to him, "Don't be afraid to take Mary." But he didn't say, "You must take her." He just said, "Don't be afraid. It's going to be okay." So, "That woman thou gavest me." And what did she say? "That serpent. He deceived me." So everybody blamed somebody else. But it was still deception. It was still deception. And you see, the devil lied, but he told a little truth too, didn't he? He told half a truth. He said, "Your eyes will be opened." And their eyes were open, all right. But they were seeing things that God never intended them to see. They saw wickedness. They saw sin. They saw their own nakedness. God had never intended them to see things like that. Okay? So now, the whole process of Jesus Christ, the whole process of the blood, is to take us out of that place and put us back into paradise. Heaven. The kingdom of God. That's where they started. Okay, now Jesus, we're talking about deception. And how many places in Matthew 24 does he tell them about not being deceived? Okay, he said in verse 5. Oh, verse 4 and 5. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." So, who is apt to deceive you? People. Men. Men are deceivers. "For many shall come in my name." Now, that word "come" is not parousia. It's just "come." "Many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Now, would you be deceived if I walked in here one day and said, "I am Christ"? Would you believe that?
No.
You would say, "Get that guy out of here." Brother Edmar would throw me right out the door. No matter how big I am, he'd throw me out the door. That is so obvious, isn't it? So what does that word mean? See, when you find things that you say, Lord, what does that mean? You have to say, Lord, what does that mean? It means something. Or you wouldn't have it here. What does the word Christ mean? The word Christ comes from the word charisma. Aha, charismatic. You've heard the word charismatic? It's where the word Christ comes from, charismatic. And many will come and be charismatic. They won't have to say, I am Christ. They will just say, oh, wow, look at me. I will tell you the wonderful thing that you want to hear. I will tell you how you can have much money. If you only give me $100, you will have $1,000. I mean,
10%.
Yeah. So, you've heard that?
Yes.
This is deceiving people. You know how? Because people are sending millions and millions of dollars to these guys. And they are living, yes, they are living in mansions. They're not waiting for heaven for their mansions. These men, I tell you, I was at this meeting where this big television preacher, he had 12, I think there were 12, there might have been more, men. He was on the platform, big platform way up here, and these guards. They weren't wearing uniforms, they were wearing suits, but they were guards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He had 12 of them. Security guards. What? If any man came up, these guards take him away. Oh, boy. All right, I'm sorry. The guard was standing here. I knocked the guard over. He wasn't doing his job. You can't get close to those people. You can't get close to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This same man, I'm telling you, but I know a man that was in his church down in one of the southern states. He was in his church. And an old woman, she'd been in his church since the very beginning. And she came and she said, I want to see brother so-and-so. And the guard, one of his guards, this is after the meeting, in his office, she came up to his office. She said, I want to see brother so-and-so. The guard said, you can't go in. You don't have an appointment. She said, I have a word of God. Now this is a woman talking. Come on. And she was talking in God. She said, I have a word for him. Let me in. And the guard said, no, you can't come in. Well, the preacher heard it. And he said, who is it? And they said, it's Sister So-and-so. He said, let her in. She's been here a long time. I trust her. She came in and she said, I have a word of the Lord for you. And he said, and who are you to think that you have a word of the Lord for me? God can talk to me without you. She said, nevertheless, I have a word of the Lord for you. And she told him, she said, if you continue, you're going to fall. Have you ever heard of Leonard Ravenhill? Leonard Ravenhill. He's a man from England. He died maybe 10, 15 years ago. He was considered a prophet. Shall we say a prophet to the outer court church? But he was a mighty man. He was a prophet of God. He came down to this man's meeting. And I talked to a man that sat in the meeting when it happened. Leonard Ravenhill got on the stage where this, and this man was sitting, the preacher was sitting up in the balcony. And this man of God came on his stage. He looked at all his lights, his amplifiers, his speakers, his all the musical things, the big band. And he called him by name. He said, "Brother, what is the meaning of all this? What is all this to do with the kingdom of God?" And still the man would not listen. And one day, and the newspapers were there, and the photographers were there, and another man took it upon himself to get even with him because he had done this to another man. And now the other man, another preacher, he hired detectives, cameras, and he photographed the man secretly. And the next morning it was in all the newspapers all over the land. I'm telling you, there is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. There is no man, that woman, that can secretly live in sin. It will come to the light.
Amen, amen.
And you know that.
Mm.
You know that very well.
Amen. That's right.
It doesn't matter whether you're a student, a teacher, a professor, a pastor.
Mm.
All right. "For many will come in my name and will deceive many." All right, now let's go down. All right, verse 22, is that the next one? Verse 11. Oh, I missed one. Okay. Let's do verse 10. "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." This is the church.
Mm.
Come on, this is the church. This is families. This is church. Amen.
Mm.
"And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many." Where do false prophets, where do they come? Where do you find false prophets? In the church. You don't find them down there in Manila in the government hall, do you? No. You don't find them in Washington. No, those are politicians. Those are not false prophets. The false prophets are in the church. And deceive many. Okay? Then we were down to what? Verse 22, is that the next one? "And except those days shall be shortened..." Okay, verse 21. "Then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be again." I added the word again. Never, never again. Can you tell me, what do you know of the history of tribulation? What do you know, let's say the Philippines. What do you know about the Philippines? Let's talk about what was going on in the Philippines in, say, 1938, 39, 1940, 19... Yeah, what was going on here? Come now, you know a little about your history. Well, that was just when your parents were alive, isn't it? When were your parents born? Tell me, when were your parents? When was your father born? What year?
1960.
Oh, grandfather. Go to your grandfather. When was he born? In the 1930s. My grandparents are much older than that. My father was born in 1901. Okay, 1940. What was going on in the Philippines?
War.
War. That's a big word. But what was happening here? Who was oppressing? The Japanese?
Japanese.
Were the Japanese nice people?
No.
Were they killing people? Were they tormenting people? Were they starving people? All of these things. Do you think it was pretty nice to live in 1940?
No.
I think it was pretty hard.
Yes.
But you don't know because you didn't live here, did you? Jesus said the worst thing. What do you think life was like in Germany in 1940? Tell me about Germany. Tell me about where the Christians were put in concentration camps. Do you ever see the pictures of these people when the Allies came in? These people, they made them wear no clothes. No clothes. And you look at them, skin, bones. Skin and bones, walking like a skeleton. Almost dying. When they came and gave them food, some of the people still died because they were so badly malnourished. Do you know about Idi Amin? Did you ever hear of Idi Amin? The man from Uganda? They called him the butcher of Uganda. I'm just telling you stories. I remember it. I read it in the papers. I know what that man... That man used to go into the prisons with a big hammer, and he'd kill people with a hammer just because he wanted to... He was a Muslim, by the way. Christians. Especially Christians. Oh, yes. We're going to be here. Because he said... Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. All right, I'm going to ask the question. What would it take to deceive you? What would deceive you?
Maybe it's good, it's like good thing.
When you don't know the word of God.
Suppose I could call down fire. In the name of Jesus. Would you believe? Oh, he's a man of God. Well, it says they will perform signs and wonders. Great signs and wonders. So that means just because I could work some kind of cheap miracles, you'd have to judge me by something other than that. Well, yeah, he did a lot of tricks, but you know, I didn't see the nature of Jesus in him. Hello? What will save you from being deceived? How can you save yourself from being deceived? It's an easy answer. The Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. And you need to judge, not by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but you need to judge by the Spirit.
That's right.
What I've been trying to do with you in these last few days is to get you to come up and see by the Spirit. Yes. And hear by the Spirit.
Yes.
And understand by the Spirit.
Yes.
You have to come from that lower level You've got to come higher. They will call you false doctrine. They will call you cult. If they don't understand, they will call, they will, what does it say here? You will be hated. You will be hated. Betrayed. Turn you into the government. Be offended. I think the word of the Lord is, take heed that ye be not deceived. Well, amen. You know, I just want to say I've really appreciated you as a class. I have learned to know you, although I don't know all your names. I know all your faces. I can see the Spirit of God in you.
Amen.
I can see your response. You know, when you're here, you can see people drinking. Did you know that? You can see people drinking the Word. You can see people eating the life of Jesus. And Brother Bert brought a word a couple of years ago that he said, thus saith the Lord, we are at the time of the drinking of the water. Do you know what that means? The Gideon, the last separation of the 300 from the 10,000, was it? The last test was when they went down to the brook to drink the water. And it's how you drink. You see, the ones who just went down, send them home. What's the problem? When you're like this, you can't see anything. You're not alert. But when you drink like this, you're watching. And nobody's going to deceive you because you can see. And that is the Gideon 300. That's the meaning of 300. Oh, by the way, did you know that the perimeter is 300? Did you know that? Yeah. 100, 150, 50. And by the way, do you know that 50 is Jubilee?
Yeah.